So it's very great pleasure to be introducing this subject tonight, Making Cities Work, the Application of Technology, Science and Infrastructure Improvements to Create a Place Where Citizens Wish to Live. So I think the first question to address is, people talk a lot about smart cities, and many people have different views about what a smart city is, and what you see here is a list of probably most of the things that would be said if you asked people what it is that is important to make a smart city. And environment, health and well-being, culture, recreation, education and employment, energy, transportation and mobility, and infrastructure, whether it be physical or digital. And what I'm going to address this evening is principally infrastructure and physical, because that is a very important part of what makes a smart city work. So the question also to ask is what we mean by smart infrastructure. And I think it's really the interaction between physical and digital, as indicated by the two intersecting circles. And smart infrastructure really is where it responds intelligently to changes in its environment, with the ability to influence and direct its own delivery, use, maintenance, and support. So we have lots of challenges facing our city infrastructure. We have age. A lot of the UK's infrastructure is very old. The loading has very much changed from the days of Victorian engineering to modern day loading that we have. And we face, in lots of ways, uncertain future in terms of things such as climate change. And all of these have implications for risk and resilience, for asset management, and for our design. And while mentioning climate change, it's worth just reminding us all of events really quite recently in the last few years, which have been a real wake-up call for our infrastructure at Dawlish, at Tadcaster, Cowley Bridge. These were massively destructive events which completely destroyed our infrastructure. And we should also be aware that of the vulnerability of city infrastructure. So burst water pipes are an increasing problem. Stoke Newington in 2016, flooding huge numbers of properties. Flooding, I've already briefly mentioned, of an electricity substation in the West Country. A dramatic collapse of a station in Singapore, and an equally dramatic collapse of a bridge in Minnesota. And that is something I'm just going to show you for a minute or two to bring out the unpredictability of some of our infrastructure. This Mississippi River Bridge in Minneapolis was a major bridge. It carried 140,000 vehicles every day. It was built relatively recently, 1967, new by a lot of our standards of infrastructure. And at 6 p.m. on the 1st of August, it collapsed with absolutely no warning whatsoever. 100 cars involved going into the river, 13 people killed, 145 injured. It was a real wake-up call. And what was particularly significant in all of the investigations afterwards was the evidence of a photograph that was taken 4 years earlier of that bridge, and it was noted that there was a deformed gusset plate here and here. But nothing was acted upon, and that's in part the reason for that dramatic collapse of the bridge. Now, there are 50,000 such bridges in the US, and there are many tens of thousands of bridges in the UK, old and new, and we don't know what their condition really is. The Economist produced a very timely article not many years ago, which was one of their special supplements on smart structures. They came to talk to us in Cambridge, and I think this diagram that they produced encapsulates what we're talking about in terms of smart city infrastructure as far as physical infrastructure is concerned. So bridges will have sensors measuring all kinds of things on the bridge, as will our tunnels, as will our buildings, and these will be sensors that give the information for the managers and the of our cities, of the owners of our infrastructure. They will be able to tell us exactly how all that infrastructure is performing. It will be health monitoring. And that's something that The Economist summed up rather well when the article said, if a car can be made smart enough to spot when the oil is low or a brake light has failed, why not do the same for bridges, tunnels, and buildings? This is the Golden Gate Bridge, and there's a sensor that's telling the operators of the bridge what the condition of the bridge is and whether there's any problem that might be looming or emerging. So recent developments in sensor technologies provide major new opportunities for ensuring resilient infrastructure. At Cambridge, I lead the Centre for Smart Infrastructure and Construction, and our main mission really is to transform the future of infrastructure through smarter information. And smarter information, of course, is the theme of this whole evening's discussion and debate. And this has been in two phases. It's been funded by EPSRC and Innovate UK, and we had a first phase of funding between 2011 and 2016, and we're now in our second five-year phase of funding. It involves about £22 million worth of funding over 10 years from the UK government, those two organisations I've mentioned, and also very significantly from industry. And I'm not expecting you to take all these on board, but essentially there are three groups. There are the infrastructure clients, the owners and the operators, people like London Underground, Transport for London, Network Rail. There are the designers and contractors and asset managers, and you'll see many of the well-known names there. And then there are those in the technology and information supply chain. All of these are partners of ours in this centre. We see there being four scales of challenge. We have the sensors and the data collection leading through to analysis and interpretation, leading through to the assets, what it means for the assets, and that leading through to the cities and the infrastructure systems. And these are all dependent on each other, so all cities and infrastructure systems have performance requirements, which requires asset management, requires data analysis and interpretation, and that is provided by sensors. And so the sensors provide the data and the information and the outcomes. CSIC's approach is firstly at the city scale, where we're interested in modeling urban development, human interaction with infrastructure, and we'll be hearing a lot more about that in the course of this evening, and smart city standards. And at the asset scale, we're interested in whole life value approaches to asset management. And so we're providing smart information for asset management, design and construction. So not just building some new piece of infrastructure, but tracking it all the way through its life, giving the information as to how it's performing, whether it needs to be repaired, maintained, any part of it replaced. And then the sensor scale, which is we've concentrated at our center on four areas: distributed fiber optic strain sensors, wireless sensor networks and MEMS devices, energy harvesting, that's sensors without batteries. So by making use of vibrations on bridges or in tunnels, we're getting very close to having sensors that actually do not need any batteries. They simply derive their power from the vibration and from other forms of energy harvesting, and computer vision. I'm going to, in the time available, just talk about the first two, fiber optic strain sensors and wireless sensor networks. And what we have been doing is essentially focusing on field demonstrations and case studies. So we have been trialing many of these new techniques on around about 100 projects now. And the principal aim is to develop new engineering insights in order to manage our city assets and to understand and improve our cities. So starting with fiber optic sensing. Now, this is the only slide of any complicated science, and I won't take too long on this. But essentially, if you have an optical fiber and you launch light through the optical fiber, a very high proportion of that light is transmitted through the fiber. That's what fiber optic is so good at. But a small proportion is backscattered. And it's the backscattered light that we can make use of. So if we send a signal down fiber optic from a device here, the backscattered light comes back. If we plot that backscattered light, the power, against the frequency, we get some peaks. But if the actual fiber optic is strained at a particular part of the fiber optic, you get a shift in the peak here. So we can effectively find ourselves with this very, very powerful innovation that the fiber optic is one continuous strain gauge, and it's a very cheap strain gauge. It can be hundreds of meters long, even kilometers long, and we can see exactly how the strain is changing at any point in that fiber optic. So, for example, for Crossrail, for major new construction, this is a very large shaft for Crossrail. These walls go 52 meters below ground level, and we lower these big reinforcement cages into the ground, in slots in the ground, which are then concreted. And by attaching fiber optic, either the red here or the green, we can actually measure for the first time the strains that shaft wall experiences throughout its design life. And it enables decisions to be made by designers of future shafts in cities as to what extent are the shafts over-designed, and those fiber optics exist throughout the life of that shaft, so there's always a check on how it's performing. One more example for Crossrail shown here. This is in Liverpool Street Station, where the first lining for this very large tunnel, it's 11 meters in diameter, is made by spray concrete, and then fiber optic is then placed all around it prior to a second lining being constructed, before some cross passages were constructed. These are holes that link into adjacent tunnels, and what we learnt from this fiber optic here has immediate implications for Crossrail 2, in that the potential design changes, the reductions in thickness of concrete, we know for the first time from this fiber optic. So it can be very useful in actually making our future construction much more economic and still being safe. And here's an example of some existing infrastructure. This is an existing London Underground lining. There was some concern about the movement and deformation of these linings, and you can see some fiber optic that's been put in here, which then gives a very comprehensive picture as to what actually is happening. And the point about this is it's extremely cheap. This kind of fiber optic costs only about 10p a meter. Bridges. Traditional asset management of bridges relies very heavily on visual observation data. So you can see some quite hairy operations here of people abseiling off down the bridge here, or being lowered even perhaps even more hairily down here to inspect a bridge, or here. And in fact, this chap is going to look at something underwater for the bridge. But visual observation is the only way currently bridges are inspected. And that's not a very scientific approach. And so there are many opportunities for sensors to be used to be much more rational. Masonry bridges are very important here. We have about 18,000 bridges in the UK constructed of masonry in uncertain condition. Some of them are very old. And recently, there have been three instances of masonry bridges collapsing just in 2015 and 2016 alone. They're vulnerable for a number of reasons. The masonry is old. Axle loads from trains are typically two or three times higher than they were in the 19th century when those bridges were built. And so there's lots of evident damage. And so in many cities, there are speed restrictions for railway bridges, and those speed restrictions are causing delays. And so there's an issue in Leeds. There's a masonry railway bridge there, which is really quite substantially cracked. Quite large cracks, evidence of settlement of the arch, and the need for speed restriction was absolutely at the forefront of everyone's minds. So a combination of fiber optics and computer vision, where we are able to use computer vision techniques as well as fiber optics. You can see the fiber optic here in the arch. And this combination has shown very clearly that there is, in fact, no need for speed restrictions. And that's a really important application of how sensors can provide the answers to decision makers to enable a rational thought about whether or not a piece of infrastructure is safe or whether it needs to be closed down or repaired. Now, wireless sensor networks are the last part I'm going to show you. And there we are familiar now. We're living in a wireless world. But we can now have sensors in something like a tunnel, or it can indeed be a bridge or anything else, which can be programmed to wake up, take a reading, transmit the data to the adjacent one, all the way through to a gateway, which then goes into a mobile network and onto the internet. And so a London Underground tunnel, there are a number of wireless sensors that were placed. There's a gateway shown up here, but then there were a number of sensors measuring crack width, inclination, and they were all placed in the tunnel with no wires, so they're quite attractive to the London Underground operators, and they then can make measurements and transmit those measurements to each of the sensors. Hammersmith Flyover is an interesting example of a bridge that was built in the 60s, and the paper that was written at the time stated this should not cost a halfpenny to maintain over the next 100 years. Well, just before the Olympics, many of you may remember that there was a very dramatic event when a chance inspection of inside a manhole cover revealed that 50% of the pre-stressing, post-tensioning tendons had corroded away completely. And so the decision was taken immediately to shut the bridge. It was shut for 4 months while repairs were done, and it came at a very bad time with the Olympics just about to start. So it is now equipped with wireless sensors on the piers and inside the bridge. And it's just that kind of sensing that can stop that kind of major disruption to our city infrastructure. And there are sensors inside as well, measuring whether or not the bearings of the bridge are in trouble. So I mentioned MEMS, microelectrical mechanical systems. These are essentially strain gauges that can be designed on chips using chip technology. So these are matters of only a millimeter or two in size, but etched into the silicon, you'll see something very much like a pair of tuning forks here, which are in effect a very sophisticated strain gauge. And there is a huge potential for producing cheap and highly versatile strain gauges using this kind of technology. This is the result of this kind of work. One of our PhD students who came from Arm in Cambridge, and she put together and designed a very neat little sensor called the Utterbury, which can measure tilt, acceleration, temperature, humidity, all kinds of things. And this has been deployed quite extensively on Crossrail and other projects. And it's won all sorts of innovation awards. It requires very small amounts of power. So just in summary, what's available to us now are distributed strain optical fiber systems. They're very versatile. Embedded MEMS sensors, low power, low cost, high resolution. Energy harvesting, which I've just touched on only, but we can use low-grade energy in the environment, such as vibration, wind, pressure fluctuations, and heat, to actually get to the point of sensors not requiring batteries. And, of course, wireless communication is all important here. We can have these sensors easily installed and robust networks that can give us the information we need. So the thing about intelligent infrastructure and condition monitoring is that sensors and smart infrastructure deliver value when they're exploited for managing assets throughout their life, whether they be roads, tunnels, bridges, sewers, flood defences, buildings. It enables us to have a full understanding of the performance of our assets, both during construction and throughout design life. It gives greater efficiencies in design and performance, and rational strategies for whole life maintenance and asset management. There's a huge potential for city infrastructure, both old and new. Thank you.